I want to start today by sharing with you a story about two farmers who were neighbors together. There was one problem. These farmers were not talking to each other, and they hadn't talked to each other for years. And it was all because of a cat. You heard me correctly, a cat. You see, this stray cat would go onto both of their lands, and they both started to feed this cat, and they both started to claim this cat as their own. And this debate grew about whose cat it was to the point where these two farmers were no longer speaking to each other. The one farmer had a spring that ran through his property, and he took his spring and he dug out a new trench to create a dividing line between the two properties. Well, this angered the other farmer. Well, a carpenter shows up looking for work, and he goes to the farmer and he knocks on his door and he says, "Hey, I'm a carpenter looking for some work. Do you have anything for me?" Well, that farmer had a really great idea. He said, "My neighbor, he dug this spring to divide up our land. I don't even want to see him anymore. So I want you to build a fence that goes all the way down our property. And I want you to get this done as soon as possible." The carpenter, happy for work, said, "That's great. Do me a favor. I need you to run down to the center of town. I need you to buy some lumber for me. And I'll start constructing what lumber I have in the shed or what you already have in the shed." So the farmer says, "No problem." He gets in his pickup truck. He runs down into the lumber yard in the center of town and begins loading up the lumber. Well, as he's beginning to make his way back to his house and he's coming down the long driveway, he looks over and he is astonished. Because what he sees, instead of the beginning stages of a long fence going down the center of the two properties, he sees a bridge. The carpenter's nowhere to be found. But instead, this bridge is going over this spring to the other property. Really upset, the farmer begins to walk over, and he has this look on his face. And all of a sudden, as he begins to walk towards the bridge, he sees the other farmer crossing over. And he says, "You are one brave individual. I never thought that you would never want to speak to me again. And here you built this bridge for us to be able to come together. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?" And the other farmer didn't know what to do. He stood there shocked. And before he knew it, he had extended out his hand and he had shaken the hand of his friend who he hadn't spoken to in years. And he said, "Oh, I knew the cat was yours." And the two came together. Now, the story that I just shared with you is actually the introduction story by a singer-songwriter named David Wilcox. And it's the intro to his song, Fearless Love. And the chorus of that song says, "Fearless love makes you cross the border." That's really important. The love that Jesus embodied was fearless love. And Jesus' love, as we learn through Scripture, casts out all fear. And it's a defiant love. It's a love that we can't even make sense of or wrap our heads around. It's a love that builds a bridge over the spring of division. And it's today that we continue in our Advent series and we focus on the attribute of God modeled in Jesus of love. So Advent, just a quick recap, is that coming. It means arrival. It's anticipation and expectation. And Advent connects us from our past to our present and also to our future. It's modeled for us in the season of celebration of not just Christmas, but the meaning behind Christmas. Each week, we're focusing on a different attribute of God that is seen in his son, Jesus: hope, peace, joy, and love. So today we find ourselves now at rediscovering Christmas and rediscovering the love of God that is seen in Christ Jesus. And despite all the challenges, despite all the despair, despite all the pain, we focus now on this aspect of love, which moves through all of those things and meets us right where we are today. Because Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. This is a good place for us to stop as we start our journey together of dialogue and discussion in the started out portion of your talk sheet. If you haven't had a chance to download the talk sheet, you can find that right on our website, trinitynazarene.org. And we encourage you to dialogue together as we move through the message for our time today. And If you want to just continue to go through the message, just wait 5 seconds and it'll begin automatically. Or if you press pause, have a conversation. When you're ready, come back and press play, and we'll be right here to continue. Over the past several weeks, we've been focusing on multiple characters that we find in the Christmas story. Well, instead of us focusing on one character today, I'm actually going to focus on the whole cast of characters that are represented in the story. And it's important to recognize that Jesus's birth and the Christmas story, it brings people from all walks of life together. In fact, it brings people that are across many different divides and even different contrasting characters of what they're experiencing, cultural differences. And they all come together at the stable and they all bow at the feet of this tiny baby named Jesus, who would come to be known as the Messiah. What's really interesting is we take the order of the story that we find it, we begin with Zechariah and Elizabeth. And one thing we know about this from the scripture is that Zechariah and Elizabeth are old. Well, the juxtaposition of that is seeing Mary and Joseph, who were quite young. And so we have old and young represented. In fact, Elizabeth and Zechariah represent the prophetic age and a time of the priests and Israel's past, where Mary and Joseph now represent the fulfillment of the Messiah and the new covenant, which Jesus later would say is going to be forged in his blood. And then you take the shepherds and the angels. Well, the shepherds represent humanity. They represent the physical being that God created when he breathed into Adam. We as humans are the only ones that have the breath of God in our lungs. And then the angels, which are celestial, they're celestial beings that God also created, but in a different way. They represent the spiritual aspect of heaven and earth. So think about the shepherds representing earth and the angels representing heaven, and heaven meets earth on the hillside of a shepherds tending their sheep in the middle of the night. Well, then you turn your attention to the fact that the shepherds ran to a stable. Not only were they tending sheep, which represent animals and creation in our story, but they also represent the animals that were in the stable. And this again represents the creation, and all of creation was represented at the stable. I love the aspect of that story. Now we move to being able to look at Matthew's account. Matthew was a tax collector who was called out of his daily work to follow Jesus. And through the course of building relationship with Peter, he writes this gospel account. And in his gospel account of what happens, we are then introduced to the Magi. Now, who are the Magi? Where did they come from? Why? What does the name Magi even mean? Well, we understand that Magi is a shortened form of the word magical. And in fact, what's very interesting about the Magi is we learn that they were from the Orient. And in fact, as the song says, we three kings from Orient are. Now, a lot of scholars believe that we know that they were from Far East Asia, and they also understand that potentially they came directly from China. Now, this is really interesting because we also learn about the Magi that they are astrologers. They study the stars, and also that they enjoyed long walks in the desert. Add that to your dating profile. I am from the East, astrologer, and I like long walks in the desert. But also you can include, oh yeah, and by the way, I'm rich. We know that they were incredibly wealthy, and we know this because they had an audience with the king, Herod. And thank goodness they kind of saw through all that was happening there because of a dream they had. But they make their way to Mary and Joseph, and they represent the rich and the poor coming together. Now, what's also interesting is these kings come and they worship at the feet of Jesus a little bit later in the story of his birth. But what's really telling is the fact that it wasn't regarded or reserved for the spiritually elite, the VIPs. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were not invited to the stable, but these kings from Far East who followed a star made their way, and they were invited. Now, here's the other thing that really blows me away about this story, and I don't know that I really had seen this before until I dug a little bit deeper. Jesus came as a Jewish Messiah. He was the covenant to the Jews. But think about who shows up at the stable. It wasn't just the Jews that are represented. In fact, these magi that show up means that the Gentiles were invited as well. This is incredible because this story then gives actually more credit to, I believe, the Bible. And the reason is because why would you include a story that smacks in the face of cultural norms? All the cultural norms are out the window. So you have old and young, you have celestial, you have humanity, you have creation and the animals, you have kings, you have the rich, you have the poor, all coming together and meeting at the stable. Now, it seems like this is a ragtag group, and it also kind of almost seems blasphemous that Gentiles would be invited as well. But God was revealing several things about love. In fact, our first point for today about the love that he is revealing is that Christ is love embodied. Christ is love embodied. The Bible talks a lot about love. In fact, the Bible is a story of love to humanity. From creation at the beginning to revelation at the end, it's a story of brokenness restored. And it's a story of separation because of sin. Sin from the very beginning had separated us from relationship with God because God is holy. And it was Jesus who God sent to be that bridge builder, to cross over and to begin the restoration and redemptive work of God in the world. You see, from generation to generation, all throughout the story, that we see God was working his plan and his promise of the Messiah coming in order to restore the relationship with humanity. In fact, the Apostle John writes in his letter in 1 John chapter 4, he says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him." Now look at this. This is important. Verse 10. "This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. This is the proof of God is seen in how we love. If you really tell people that you've seen God, you share with them that it's when we love each other that God is revealed. So verse 13 says, "And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he is in us," or he in us. "Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they," live in God. "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love." John tells us God is love. When we come to Jesus and we give him our lives, we are restored, not just by his love, but we're restored to his love. It's the fulfillment of love in that moment. And we can count on God's love to not let us down and enable us to then love each other. That's exactly what John is coaching us to do in our lives. So this leads us to our second point. Love defines and propels us. At the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, he meets with his disciples in the Passover meal, and he gives them these instructions for how they're going to live since he wasn't going to be around in a few short days. Now, In John 13, we find these profound and powerful words of Jesus revealing how love will spread through the world. He says, "So now I'm giving you as a new commandment, love each other, just as I have loved you. You should love each other." And this is in spite of how different the disciples were. "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So how do you prove that you're a disciple of God, that you're a disciple of Jesus? By loving each other and by loving those around you. Now, I want you to look at Jesus's command. He's not giving us a holy suggestion here. His command is love like I do, which, by the way, when we understand what does that mean to love like Jesus, Jesus's love was sacrificial. So then our love should be sacrificial as well. Now, this is both not just an individual act, but this is a corporate act as well. And I want you to hear this. Our current cultural climate reveals the necessity to allow God's love to flow through us and to others. Here's my third point. Love empowers us to cross the borders. And hear me say this. There's no doubt that we are living in divided times. But if we can learn anything from the Christmas story, the division has always been there. The haves, the have-nots, the religious elites, the religious not-so-elites. You have all the old and the young. You have these divisions. And at Jesus's birth, these divisions are brought together and they're made into one. This, again, is so important. And this is why Jesus's teaching was so radical. It was radical because we find in Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus says, "You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor." But Jesus goes on and says, "And hate your enemy." But I say, now this is Jesus telling us, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Jesus didn't just tear down walls or he reached across the chasm of separation and division and exclusion. And he brought them all together. Think about what he did in his earthly ministry. He befriended tax collectors. He sat down and had a drink with Samaritan woman. He interacted with Gentiles. He allowed the unclean lepers to touch him. And again, all because of love. And the list goes on and on. And Jesus didn't just talk about love or even show love. This is important. He is love. So we're going to stop here and we're going to move to the talk it out section. And there's a lot to kind of talk through today. And I want to encourage you to make sure that you, again, dialogue about the message. When you're ready, come back, press play, and we'll be right here to conclude our message for today. In the late 1800s, there was a young couple that was living in New York. And they were scraping to get by, and they were trying so desperately to make it in this big city. Their most prized possessions? Well, for Jim, it was a gold pocket watch that had been handed down from his grandfather. And it was from his grandfather to his father to now him. But for Della, her prized possession was a little bit different. It was her beautiful, long, flowing blonde hair. And both were secretly trying to save up for to experience Christmas together. And for Della, she got to the point where she realized that Christmas Eve, she only had $1.87. And so in an act of desperation, she went and she sold her beautiful blonde hair for $20 so that she could purchase a gold chain that would go perfectly with Jim's gold pocket watch. Fearful that her husband wasn't going to find her beautiful anymore, she worried as he walked in the door to see her with no more hair. Well, he held her in her arms and reassured her of her beauty. And while doing that, he slipped into her hands a set of beautiful silver brushes. And she looked at Jim and she said, "But my hair grows back so quickly." And at the same time, she then was so excited to hand Jim this gold chain that was going to go perfectly with his gold pocket watch, to which he declared to her that he had sold in order to purchase the silver brushes. Of all who give and receive gifts, such as they are the most wise, wrote O. Henry, to the close his famous 1905 story, The Gift of the Magi. And he says, everywhere they are the wise ones. They are the Magi. You see, Jim and Della's gifts, they were sacrificial. They were not given out of compulsion or out of obligation. And they didn't hesitate to sacrificially give what was most precious to them. And so it is with God. A humility of love that is represented in the Son, Jesus. His miraculous, divine, all-consuming love on full display. You see, God and his love is best seen in the greatest gift that could ever have been given, his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. So this Christmas season, let's find more ways to not only experience the love of God, but to be the love of God to the world, to embody his love, to be defined by his love, and most importantly, to be empowered to cross the bridges of differences around us. Let's rediscover Christmas together. Well, I encourage you as we end our time to make sure you check out the Live It Out section of the talk sheet. And as we now close with prayer and then close with our benediction, I want to encourage you to continue to recognize that the love of God was so strong that he sent his Son to represent love to us, that now that we have seen the Son, that we can learn too how to be love to the world. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we praise you and thank you for the love that you have bestowed upon each of us. It's a love, Lord, that maybe we don't necessarily always feel, but we know, Lord, that your love is real nonetheless. Lord, I pray that maybe there are some that need to experience your love in a fresh and new way. Lord, maybe there's some that have experienced that fresh and that newness of love, and now they're crying out to you to provide fresh opportunities to show that love to others. Lord, there's no doubt that there are differences among us, differences in relationships, differences in friendships, differences in political opinions and views, or differences in even religion. But Lord, in all of that, I pray that we would be bridge builders. Provide opportunities for us to cross over and not to represent ourselves only in those moments, but to represent you, because we know that you were the ultimate bridge builder. Lord, just like the chasm that separated two farmers, our sin has separated our relationship with you. So I pray now in these quiet moments, and as those who are listening in to this prayer, that they would recognize the sin that separates is now can be mended in our sacrificing ourselves to you, Lord, in order to experience the sacrifice and the beauty of the cross. So, Lord, we know that it all started as stable, bringing all of these cast of characters together. And let us too be reminded that even now you bring the cast of characters together so that not only the church, not only ourselves, but that all of humanity would be one. And we praise you and we thank you for this. Amen. Well, as we end our time together each time, I want to encourage you to experience the benediction and the blessing before we go. So I encourage you just to extend your hands and to receive this blessing, not over just your week, but receive it over this Christmas season. And as you know it, I encourage you to say it with me. If you don't know, it's right here on the screen. You can say it together. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Say it with me. You are sent.